Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I'm too young or I'm too old. I may not sing or teach, or no title do I hold, Lord. What can I do? for I want to do my part, and I want to help the hurting with all of my heart. I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, and calling on your name. That's something I can do. Oh, family shows no interest, and my child has gone so far. Though I try my best to reach them, their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to you? For my family's lost and dying, and my words just don't get through. But until the walls come down, until there's healing all around, that's something I can do. Oh, I can pray in my secret place. I'm calling on your name. That's something I can do. Oh, or a teacher, Sunday school teacher. You might not be able to sing, but there's something that we can do, amen. Oh, you can pray in your secret place. Lord, we're calling on your name. That's something we can do. Oh,
ago, it might have been three now, I'm not real sure, Brother Alton preached a Sunday morning message out of Ezra chapter 7. I don't know if you remember, but he jumped up on the pew and along with Hudson Taylor said, hoist the sails, hoist the sails. Remember that? That was good. On the way out, I told him, man, that was good. It was so good that I actually took notes, and I was planning on preaching somewhere else, you know, to go somewhere and preach it, you know, like it was mine. And I got studying it, and so I'm not going to preach it again tonight. But I do want you to turn to Ezra chapter 7, because when I started studying over my notes, I ran across something in Ezra chapter 7 and chapter 8 that I thought was kind of unique, and so I'm just going to preach tonight. Ezra chapter 7, I'm going to read verse 9 first. We'll back up a little bit. He was in 7:10, so we don't panic. Verse 9 says, for upon the first day of the first month began he, Ezra, to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month, that's 4 months later, came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. And I got thinking about the good hand of God. And you back up to verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted unto him, granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. I'm going to read four more verses out of Ezra 7 and 8. And each one of them has a little something to do with the good hand of God. And it seems like to me that if God says something six times in two chapters, that he must have in mind for us to pay attention just a little bit. I'm going to read you a few more. You ready? Verse 7:28. Hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Now if you'll take a look in chapter 8, verse number 18. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. Verse 22, I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek it, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake it. And verse number 31, and we'll be done. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait. By the way, I want to go back to chapter 7, verse 9, and read that last line just one more time. First day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. It's going to be real easy tonight. I don't have any jokes. I got no funny stories. I got no serious stories, no illustrations. I got about a half a dozen verses that I want to read. And then as we read them, I want to holler a little bit. And then we'll say amen and be headed toward the house. You ready? I want to look at the hand of God tonight in several different directions. First, I'd like to talk about his creation. I want to tell you, you know when God got his hands dirty the first time? When he formed man out of the dust of the earth. Everything else was spoken, but when it came to make man, God said, let's roll up our sleeves and get a little bit dirty here. We've got work to do. And he made man out of the dust of the earth. Now, when we read your word out of Psalm, we know that God spoke most of it into existence by his word. Came to man, he formed man out of the dust of the earth. But listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, moon and stars which thou hast created. So David, the psalmist, is talking about the fingers of God. Ezra's talking about the hands of God. We'll read in a little while. Might talk about the strong arm of the Lord. Our God is involved in everything from the absolute beginning of recorded time, history. When it began, God was at work putting together stuff for you and for me. I read in Genesis, after he created all of it, 6 days he created it, and his final word was, it's very good. I'm part of that. Okay? Now, I wasn't formed out of the dust of the earth. God had a different plan for making babies after that. Okay, I came the natural way, but I consider myself the creation of Almighty God. And in a little while, I'm going to talk about the recreation. I got recreated about 40-something odd years ago when Jesus birthed me into his family. I want to talk about creation just a minute. Today, we live in a world that is it's on a decline. Eden, absolute perfection. Sin came in, and she started a nosedive, and she still died. Quite some number of years ago, we were worried about global cooling. They said if it keeps up like this, New York will be an ice place like Alaska or Antarctica or somewhere. Global cooling, horrible. They got over that. Now it's global warming. I'm going to tell you a little secret, folks. I'm not going to be here when it gets too warm to live here. I'm going to be gone long ago. It's not going to be a real long time before we'll be in another place. And I'll tell you a little secret. Now, it's not a real secret. You know this already. When Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom here, He's going to reform this whole thing anyway, and the environment will be absolutely perfect once again. Glory to God. That's about all I'm going to say about creation, but I find that there's a couple other things about about God and His hand. There was a time when God's people were in bondage in a place called Egypt. And my God came on the scene and said, we're going to bring them out. I want to read to you from Exodus chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And this is God speaking to Moses. Listen to this. And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand, he said. He said he's going to exercise his might, his little kingly might, and he's not going to let you go. But listen to this. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he'll let you go. God. Don't you just love to read the Bible, the Word of God? I love it when God takes that upper hand. He said, he's not going to let you go. He thinks he's somebody. He thinks he's got power over you. You've been in oppression for 400 years. He thinks he's got the corner on the market. He will not let you go. But when I get done with him, he'll let you go. Glory to God. I want to read it to you from Jeremiah. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32, 21, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. That's my God. Now, I'll tell you a little tale. I have never been to Egypt. I've never been in slavery, been involved in being a slave. I've never been a captive by some enemy force. I've never had that experience. Hope I never do. I don't know how to do it being a slave. You know, I just really don't. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm too old for that. I can't do that. Now, I'd have 1,000 excuses why I wouldn't be a good slave. But if I were in bondage tonight, if I were in a foreign land, and if I were under the thumb of some wicked king and some wicked society, I know a God who by his hand could deliver me. I've been delivered from some stuff already. I have experience at it. And I'm not alone. Just about every person in here, you've gone through some things in your life. One after another. Sometimes it's good and we're on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. And there's other times we're in a valley. Okay? And we go through these little troublesome times, but I'll promise you, and most of you could testify better than I could about this. Our God is able to deliver. I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what the circumstance is. Our God can do. Can I just get a show of hands just as a witness? If you've ever been delivered from something, maybe it's sin, maybe it's sickness or something like that, would you just slip your hand up? Look at that. Glory to God. Isn't God good? Number three, I think. I want to talk about salvation and security. I mentioned just a minute ago that there was a time when as a sinner, as a wicked guy that had no regard for God, God moved into my life and I got birthed into the family. Okay? Fantastic experience for me. The best thing ever happened in my life. I was thrilled. A little casual down here this morning, got saved the other night in between the sink and the whatever it was, down on his knees in the bathroom. Isn't that wonderful? I got saved in a normal service just like this. Marched down to the aisle down here, knelt down here, and somebody showed me exactly how to be saved, and I got saved. It doesn't matter where you got it. Doesn't matter what the circumstance was. If you receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, you're as saved as the next one is. And if you did not, I will say, you're as lost as the most hell-bound, wicked, sorry sinner that ever lived on this earth. But thank God that by the hand of God, we can be recreated. Let me read you Ephesians 2, verse 21. Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God created us in that new creation, not just to sit on a pew, not just to sing a little bit. No, no, no. He created us unto good works. God had a plan for you from before the foundation of the world. And it didn't just involve salvation. God foreordained that he would by his own workmanship create you a new creature, a new work, and that you'd have a job to do for him. I'd like to counsel everybody in the house right now. Ready? Ready for this? Here comes some good counsel. If you don't know what it is God's got for you to do, you best find out. Because you'll never be really, totally satisfied until you're serving him in some way. What's his name? Brother William, a little while ago, just sang. He said, maybe you're not a teacher, maybe you're not a preacher, that's all right, but you can pray. If that's all God's got for you, wear it out, son. Get busy praying. If that's your mission, then give God the glory and pray. This morning in our Sunday school class, we're in the book of John. We're ahead of you still. Probably will be staying ahead of you. But anyway, John 10, there's two verses, probably the best eternal security verses in the whole Bible. Let me read to you John 10, 28 and 29. This is Jesus speaking, and he just has got done saying, I'm the shepherd, you the sheep. Okay? He said, I'm the door to the sheepfold, and I'm the shepherd. Listen to what he said. Verse 28 and 29. I give unto them eternal life. That's us sheep. Okay? We're just sorry old stinking sheep, but God has given to us eternal life. Here comes the rest of it. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This morning I told our folks that there used to be on television an ad for Allstate Insurance. It said, you're in good hands with Allstate. When you're in the hands of Jesus the Son and God the Father, you are far more secure than anything Allstate will ever be able to do for us. We're in good hands with Jesus. It always tastes better up here than it does out of the fountain downstairs. Matthew chapter 8, the hand of Jesus is able to heal. Matthew 8 says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Listen to this. And immediately his leprosy was clean. I did a study a long time back. I don't even know if I still got the notes. But I looked at Jesus and I said, you know what? There's a lot of stuff Jesus does that other folks can't do. Under Jewish law, you couldn't touch a leper. I mean, you'd be unclean for 7 days, I think it was, if you just touched them or touched something they had touched. When they came down the street, they had to walk on one side of the street hollering, unclean, unclean, so everybody would know to stay away from them. The study that I did, I found out Jesus can touch what nobody else can touch. Jesus can say some things that nobody else can say. He said, I've given them eternal life. I could say that all day. It wouldn't mean a thing. But when Jesus says it, it's different. He can go places we can't go. He can do things that we can't do. But I especially like when he touches something and it gets whole again. The leper came to him, and I like it because he said, he didn't say, you reckon you can heal me? If you could, it'd be nice. No. He said, if you will, you can. I know you can. And Jesus said, I will, and healed him on the spot. I'll read you about two blind men. Matthew chapter 20. So Jesus had compassion on them, on the blind men, and touched their eyes, and again, immediately they received their eyes received sight, and they followed him. There was a time that I, like just about everybody in here, was walking in darkness. We were lost. We were in total spiritual darkness. There was no light in our lives. And then Jesus came on the scene. I received spiritual sight. Didn't the Bible say something about the devil has blinded them so they can't understand? They're talking about lost people, wasn't that? I think that was in the Bible. It absolutely was. He hath blinded them. He put blinders on folks so they couldn't see. Well, one day Jesus came and touched my eyes, and the blinders fell off, and I could see. And just like these guys here, when I saw and understood and knew and received and was born again, I followed him. And God given me the strength for just a few more little years, I'm going to continue following him until I follow him straight up to heaven in the rapture. Amen. Number next. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, Behold, I put thy words in your mouth." I put my word in thy mouth. Jesus is in the process right now of preparing folks that are saved for service. Jeremiah, Old Testament, it's okay. God still puts his hands on folks. And you'll hear everybody, once in a while, somebody say, "Yeah, the Lord touched me and called me, and I'm serving him now." Amen to that. Well, Jeremiah said a touch wasn't quite enough. I needed his words in my mouth. I needed a message to speak. And I'll give you a hint here. Anybody that doesn't get his message from the Lord probably ought not to be preaching or teaching or witnessing or testifying. It's got to be a message out of this book. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know all the verses. I hadn't memorized them all." That's all right. I'll bet you if you've been saved very long, you could kind of, I don't want to say ad lib, but you could get close enough on saying a verse that it could be a blessing to somebody. And that'll get an amen to it. If you can memorize them word for word, go for it. Okay? I told our Sunday school class several times, and I hate to admit it, but I've lost more verses than I can count. I used to know them word for word, and now some of it kind of drifted away. I think it's it. But that's all right. I can still give enough of a principle to tell somebody how to get saved, how to get right with God, how to have a little prayer life. And I can certainly tell them, get in the book and study the book for yourself. Okay? And I think that's a message that some of us might need to hear too. I got one or two more. One more. No, two. We'll do three. Would anybody agree with me that our government's kind of messed up right now? And it's not just our government. It's worldwide. If you read your newspaper or watch the TV news or read on the internet, if you just got about the IQ of my shoe size, you'll know that there's something bad going on in this wide world. I found out something. I'm going to share a verse with you, and I think it'll be a help to you. Because our God is not unable when it comes to a situation like we've got. God can step in and do something about it. Now, I don't think he's going to do anything real soon, because I think we're winding this thing down, and I think we're on the way out of here, and I think Antichrist is right around the corner somewhere. And God's putting all this together so that we can get raptured out of here. So I don't know. But I'll say this. God's able. I want to read to you Proverbs 21:1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." You know what that means? That means if God gets tired enough of our king, not the up king, but the king, which way is north? Towards Washington? He gets tired of that king, he can do something with him by turning his heart. Somebody said, "Well, no hope for there." You know what? If God can't turn his heart and turn him to Jesus, you know what he could do if he wanted to? Just like in Daniel chapter 4, he could make him insane and have him out in the yard eating grass. I don't know about you, but stuff like that just gets next to me. Daniel said, "I had a vision." Nebuchadnezzar said, "I had one too." Let's compare notes here. And the vision was this. "Nebuchadnezzar, you're kind of a proud fella, and if you don't get right, we're going to put you out in the yard eating grass with the oxen, and it's going to last 7 years. And you read just a few verses later in Daniel chapter 4, and lo and behold, Nebuchadnezzar is out in the yard eating grass like an ox, and he's got hair that looks like feathers on an eagle, and he's got fingernails that look like eagle's talons on him, and he's as nuts as a dog. And he stays that way for 7 years. And one day he wakes up and he turns to the Lord, and the Lord gives him his kingdom back." Okay? I'm not saying Nebuchadnezzar was saved. I'm just saying that Nebuchadnezzar, for a period of time at least, was in agreement with God and said, "Yeah, I did wrong. My God is able." folks, and we can take much encouragement two ways. Number one, if God wants to, He can fix this whole mess. Okay? He can start it at the courthouse in Noonan and work it all the way up to Washington. He can take care of the whole mess if He wants to. And then He can spread worldwide. He can change every king's heart in every nation. No problem for my God. He is able. That's one way we can take comfort in this whole situation. The second is this. You ready? We ain't going to be here long. We're home and going home. One day soon, I believe we're going to hear our Savior from the sky saying, come up hither. And I believe that His children are going to meet Him in the air and go home, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One more thing about hands, and I'm done. Thomas said, I ain't believing till I can put my finger in the wounds in His hands. Until I can thrust my hand in His side where that spear was, I'm not going to believe. Let me tell you something about the wounded hands of Jesus. He loved you and me so much that He was willing to hang on a cross and to bleed and to die for you and me. And today, those scars, somebody said that the scars in His hands and His feet are the only things man-made that are in heaven. That may be a cute little cliche, but it's true. Those scars are still there. I believe that every time when Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, you know how you do, you're sitting there in church and you're going, you're picking at your finger like this, you know, you got this little thing here, and you're messing around. I think Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, looks down, rubs His thumb on that thing. Said, that's how much I love you, right there. That's it. That's it. Man. Man, oh man. I'd do it again if I had to. Thank God. Thank the Father I don't have to do it again. Once. Once crucified for all. Never have to take that shame again. And as you rub those scars, think about me and me. Oh, I love that old girl. This is how much. Somebody said, how much did Jesus love you? And somebody else said, don't know how much for sure, but He spread His arms out this wide and died. He loved you. By His hand, we're birthed, we're fed, we're protected, we're watched over. And sometimes I think He loves us with His hand. I've told y'all before, and it's just going to keep on going. My family's not touchy-feely. It's all my fault. That's okay. But I'm thankful that I've got part of my family that is touchy-feely. He touches me when I'm sick. He touches me when I'm well. He touches me when I'm lonely. Okay? My God is able, by His hands, by His hands. I like what Ezra said. The good hand of our God was upon us when we started traveling. By the way, the good hand of God was upon you and me. If you're His child, hallelujah. If you're not, if you happen to be here tonight and not saved, I'm not real sure. And I don't mind saying this to folks that are good church members. I don't mind saying it at all, because we've had a few church members that have come down here and said, you know what, I wasn't saved, but now I am. Amen. Maybe somebody like that here tonight. If you're lost, let me assure you that the scars that Jesus was just rubbing on and say how much He loved Joe, He loves you the same amount. He died for you. And if you'll just let Him, He'll come into your life. He'll come into your heart. He'll forgive you of all your sin. He'll save you. And then He'll watch over you, because He's the good shepherd. And you could be His sheep tonight. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Father, thank You so much. Thank You for this good day. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done. We appreciate the song services, evening time. We appreciate so much Your work in our life. Father, I do pray that it wasn't much preaching, but it was some good verses, and Lord, it's some good truth. And I pray, Lord, that as we think about and meditate on and contemplate how good You are to us, how sweet it is to be related to You, and how You do watch over us, Lord, in so many ways, we don't see the backstory. We don't know what's going on around us sometimes. But we know for sure that we're protected by you and we're watched over. Thank you for that. Father, I pray now that in invitation time, Lord, maybe somebody need to come bow at the altar. Just rejoice a little bit over your goodness, over your good hand upon us, Lord. Maybe somebody else got a burden that they'd like to have lifted. You know by your powerful hand you can lift those burdens. You can deliver us from whatever it is that's in our way. And Lord, we're going to just thank you even now for what you're going to do in the next few minutes, just because we can ask it by faith in the slain and risen Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Stand up and let's sing and do what we need to do. The altar's wide open. It's all yours. If you need to come for any reason, come on. We'd be glad to have you come.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God?